The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind man guide another blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will become like the teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. The theme of the readings today has to do with seeing. Can a blind person lead a blind person? Our gospel reading today begins. We're not talking about people who are sighted. Seeing means perceiving. So let me look at this, both readings today, that first reading and the gospel, and wonder what this might mean to us, and what it has meant to me in my life. The book of Sirach gives us that first reading. If you look at your Bible, you'll find that listed among the wisdom books. It comes very late. It's about 200 years before Christ. So it's a very late in the Old Testament. Interestingly, it's not accepted in the Hebrew Bible, nor will you find it in a Protestant Bible. You'll find it only in the Catholic Bible. And it begins today telling us, when the sieve is shaken, the husks appear. Do you wonder what that means? When is the sieve shaken and the husks appear? Some reversal in life, some tragedy, perhaps a death, a sickness, some great failure in your life, some great rejection in your life. That's when the sieve is shaken and the husks appear. That's when the real person emerges in a time of crisis, in a time of challenge, a time of heavy reflection that forms or deforms us. And the gospel then will say, how is it that you will say to your brother, "Let me take the speck from your eye," while you yourself haven't removed the beam from your own? You're not seeing correctly. You don't perceive properly. So we begin with the book of Sirach, which has a long view coming about 200 years before Christ. The wisdom of Sirach can look back over the history of the Hebrew people and see when they were flying high, and about 500 years before Christ, they were crushed. The temple was destroyed. they went into exile. And in the exile and in their crisis, they rediscovered who they were. And in due time, they will return and rebuild the temple. But they must go through their crisis first before they can truly discover who they are and who God is in their lives. That's when the sieve is shaken. What does this mean to us? I'm going to begin with this long view from Sirach, and I'll finish my reflection with a long view about life. When I look back over my own life and wonder what this meant, I came out to Holy Family here in 1984, and I was part-time here as a pastor, but I was working downtown with the Cardinal. 1985, Cardinal Manning retired, Cardinal Mahoney came in, and I knew him very well. We were good friends for a long time before he came here. But I opposed him. I fought with him. I criticized him. I was very adverse to that poor man. And I gave him a hard time. And in the meantime, I'm in spiritual direction. I'm going every 3 weeks to see my confessor, and I'm saying, you know, I'm so damn mad at Roger, and I'm upset about this. And he'd say, would you like to talk about that? And I'd just deflect it and keep going with the other sins, and there were many. And that went on and on. And then the sieve was shaken. The bottom, my ground fell out from under me. In very quick succession, Cardinal Manning died and my father died. The two icons in my life, the two that inspired me, centered me, gave meaning to my life, they both died in quick succession. And I was adrift. The sieve was shaken. And I began to think, reflect on my life, like the book of Sirach. And finally, I went to Cardinal Mahoney. I met him at a retreat house, and I said, Roger, we'd like to go. I want to talk to you. So we walked around the grounds, and I said, I have to apologize because, you know, I fought with you, and I opposed you, and so forth. It had nothing to do with you. It was my struggle. It's my struggle for being displaced from a place of power. It was my struggle dealing with change. So it has nothing to do with you. But I want to apologize to you and tell you I'll support you. Oh, he said, you're wonderful and you're fabulous. I didn't believe any of it when I did it. He said, you're fantastic and you're wonderful and wonderful. So, but when I was finishing the conversation, I said, now, Roger, I want you to know, this is not a political statement. I don't want to be on any of your committees. I don't want to be in a position. Just leave me alone at Holy Family and I'll be fine. So I'm back to my spiritual director. And I explained to him how much progress I have made in the spiritual life. And he listens very kindly. And when I finished, he said, you know, you were doing fine until that last statement, there's nothing that you have that I want. And I said, oh my God, I blew it. So now I have to go back again. What this is, when the sieve is shaken, that's when the real person emerges. So in this moment of searching, I left Holy Family for 9 months. I went off to live in the third world. And in the third world, canon law is not as important as people. So I learned a new ecclesiology in the third world. Compassion, understanding, patience, the beauty, the wonder of poor, struggling people in their lives, sinners searching for meaning in life. I learned all of that in a 9-month sabbatical. I came back from this long sabbatical, and my intention was to leave Holy Family and go and work in the third world. I was so idyllically happy in the 9 months I was there. But divine providence had other plans and didn't work that way. When I came back, one of the things I took up to read was Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. And in the Gulag, it's a very long thing, it's three volumes, very long. Solzhenitsyn talks about his time in the Gulag, which was a labor camp in Russia, and his length of years. And what struck me the most about Solzhenitsyn was this passage. This passage comes from the Gulag. He said, "It was granted to me to carry away from my prison years in the Gulag, on my bent back, which nearly broke beneath its load, this essential experience, how a human being becomes evil and how a human being becomes good. In the intoxication of my youthful success, I had felt myself to be infallible, and therefore I was cruel, dominant. In the surfeit of power, I was an oppressor. In my most evil moments, I was convinced that I was doing good, and I was well supplied with systematic arguments. It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. Gradually, it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between classes, nor between political parties, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. That is why I turn back to my years of my imprisonment and say, sometimes to the astonishment of those around me, bless you, prison. I have served enough time there. I nourish my soul there, and I say without hesitation, bless you, prison, for having been in my life. Bless your moments of failure. Bless your moments of darkness. Bless your moments of struggle in your life. Bless the moments of confusion where you're searching. Bless your moments of doubt. These are all preambles to a discovery of who you are. These are the moments when the sieve is shaken and the husks appear, and you find what's really important in life and how to separate the things which in the long run do not count. So why do you look in your brother's eye? Why do you make judgments about people? Where is your judgment coming from? Jealousy? Anger? Resentment? The need to control? The need to dominate? The need to have the last word? Where is your judgment coming from? Bless you, prison. Bless the moments of struggle. Bless the questions you have in life. This is the anvil in which truth is forged. That's the meaning of the readings. The poverty, the emptiness of your life, the struggles, the failure, all moments of teaching, but you have to see it. You have to understand that the Spirit is leading you through darkness to a place of light. So don't disown the struggles of your life, your divorce, your alienation, the people you're struggling with in your life. Immerse yourself so you will find meaning there. Rise above the anger the need to control, the need to make every decision, the need to have the last word, the need to win, the need to control. Rise above that and be free. That's the teaching of God's word. It's not establishment language. It's not the economy of an institution. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It's the language of interpersonal relationships. It's the language of pain, suffering. It's the language of the songs we sing. Joseph Campbell says, "Where you stumble, there is your treasure." John Updike, one of his novels, says, "There are secrets that are hidden from those who are healthy." The secrets. I was young when I first began to read Morris West. I was in the seminary, I was 21 years old, and I came upon a book called Children of the Sun. It was a fascinating book. And Morris West, as you know, was an Australian author, wrote many, many books. He became famous. Children of the Sun was one of his very early books. But he read Shoes of a Fisherman, The Devil's Advocate, The Clowns of God. I mean, became famous later on with some of his novels. But I first read this. It was about Mario Borelli, a priest in the slums of Naples, who set up an orphanage for the street children to care for them. Incredibly engaging novel. Then I began to follow Morris West. He died in 1999, a devout Catholic. I mean, he was very attached to the church. All his books profess his faith in one way or the other. But shortly before he died, he wrote his last book called A View from the Ridge. And this was not a novel. This was biographical. He wrote about his life. He had great struggles with the church, great disillusionment. He wondered, how come the bishops can't be like Jesus? He says this in his book. Part of his struggle was he got divorced and remarried. And even when he couldn't go to communion, he went to Mass every Sunday, never missed. As a young man, he was joined a religious order. Then he left it, later got married. But he had great struggles with the church. And in his last book, A View from the Ridge, he began to look back over his life. And now he could see what he couldn't see during the time. When he looked back, he saw how the weaving of God in his life, in light and in darkness, somehow God was weaving his life. But he could only see that from a distance when he looked back. Now he could understand the weaving of God in his life, how every light, every darkness, every struggle, every setback in his life, all part of the weaving of God in his life. And he attests not to be satisfied with the answer, but rather to be satisfied that you have a question. Because the question will keep you alive. And his whole journey was full of questions. And it was only in the end of his life, when he looked back, that he could see how God was weaving his life. It's wonderful. It appeals to me because I'm an elder person. I can look back and say, for all the foolishness and all the mistakes and all the emptiness of my life, God was weaving me all the time. He was the hand of God. Therefore, failure is merely an introduction to depending on the grace of God. And finally, the church is in crisis now. We went through the priest abuse thing, and we went through the horrible embarrassment and the questioning, the heavy burdens of abuse, the emptiness. We went through all that. And through this humiliation, we must have learned something about ourselves. We must have learned something about our pride, about having every answer. We must have learned something about the grace of being humiliated, the teaching of losing, the powerlessness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to protect an institution, but to attach ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. And now, where frequently we hear, I wonder if after the pandemic people will come back to church. It's not the right question whether people come to the church. The question is, will the church come to the people? If the church comes to the people will belong. So listen to the word of God. It will teach you about yourself, about your own journey of life. It will teach you about meeting Jesus Christ in all moments of your life. It will teach you about the shaping. We belong to a cosmic Christ. We belong to the seasons. In any core relationship, any precious relationship you have in your life, there's one thing is guaranteed. You will disappoint the other person. And the other person will disappoint you. And you will disappoint yourself. You look at yourself and say, God, that's me? Yes, that's you. But the weaving of God happens in the fullness of our humanity. That's where we discover the embrace, the understanding, the compassion of God's infinite love. Amen.